How's it, everyone? This is Nate. I get to welcome you to the show and tell you about our sponsor for today's podcast. Our sponsor today is Oakley Standard Issue, which is a division of Oakley for serving those that serve government, military, law enforcement, firefighters, and EMS, the whole lot. Qualified members get exclusive access to new products, service-related discounts, that's the big one, but still a whole lot more. Products they're already known for are their eyewear. Ballistic rated and industrial certified, it's perfect for on the job. Footwear that meets uniform regulations while on duty. Some of my favorite boots I've ever had, I picked up when I was in Fort Bliss, Texas, and did lots of ruck marches there. Awesome, awesome boots. Accessories like gloves, my favorite gloves have been Oakley gloves, backpacks as well. They've also got some new released off-duty styles and collections that are worth heading on over to check out. So to do that, head to oakleysi.com where you can register and then take advantage of our discount code, which is fieldcraft15 at checkout. That way you can receive an additional 15% off your first order. Again, that's oakleysi, Sierra India, for all you professionals, .com. And head on over to check that out and claim this discount.
Hey guys, hot salt from firecracker.farm. Now you guys have seen me use this. I've used this and I'm a big believer in one, getting your electrolytes through any means necessary. Most of you are deficient in salt in the first place. So yeah, there's a health and wellness benefit, but it also makes everything taste better. I use it on my eggs. I use it in my coffee. I use it when I'm camping, when I'm hunting. In the backcountry, it's great because I can just sprinkle it on my food on the go. And it's really neat, man. I mean, this is a high quality piece of equipment and it's pushing out flavor to the max. If you use Mike Force right now, you could save 15% at firecracker.farm. That's Mike Force, one word, compressed together. Mike Force, one word, compressed together. That's 15% off at firecracker.farm. Peace out, guys.
This podcast is all about survival, responsibility, and the art of being prepared in every aspect of life. In our world, one question reigns supreme. Are you prepared enough for both known and unknown challenges? Well, the U.S. Concealed Carry Association members get the education, training, and self-defense liability insurance that they need to be ready for both of those challenges, the known and the unknown. And that's exactly why we have them as a sponsor for today's episode. We only can survive when we plan, and the USCCA is the plan to be 100% prepared in the face of any threat. With the USCCA membership, you'll be ready for the mental, physical, and legal, sadly, ramifications of self-defense, because let's be honest, people like us can't afford to take chances in that department. The level of resources that they provide is why 800,000 members, from seasoned veterans to new gun owners, trust the USCCA for their survival and self-defense needs. So head over to uscca.com/FCS to start your risk-free membership today. That's uscca.com/FCS.
Hey guys, welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I'm going to be your host for this episode. My name is Kevin Estella. I am one of the survival guys here at the company. Some people say I put the survival in Fieldcraft Survival, which is, I guess, kind of true. I get to do some really cool stuff at the company, and sometimes I get a chance to go out in the surrounding area and meet with some cool people and do some pretty awesome stuff, like hunting in North Carolina. So I'm going to say that last month, first day of hunting in North Carolina since I moved here, I had a double deer day, and I had a double deer day with the gentleman who is on the podcast with me today, who I've known for the longest time as Ski. It took me quite some time to know him as Mike, and I still butcher his last name. So I'm going to say Tribulski, which I'm guessing he's a Polish brother, just like, you know, I'm half Polish, so he's one of my Polish brethren, but I could be completely off on that one. So guys, this podcast is all about education, but not the typical education. And I think you're going to find it interesting because prior to Fieldcraft, prior to becoming, you know, the survival instructor at the company, I spent 14 years in public education. And in those 14 years, I will tell you that I saw a lot of nonsense and I saw a lot of stuff that I wish I could have done differently. And I saw the machine at work. And sometimes that machine worked to get a lot of people through, but there were a lot of people that were left behind, or people, students, young men and women, who were not given the education that they deserved. So with that being said, I want to introduce Mike Tribulski of the Apogee North Carolina Triangle program. And we're going to talk about his program, what he's doing for public education, or I should say education options, And we're just going to go from there. So, Mike, good morning, sir.
Good morning. And you nailed my last name, and I'm just proud to be a fellow Polish brother with you, man.
Yeah, I'm only half your brother, though, because the other half belongs to the Pacific Islands. But, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't have that gene.
Yeah, you can't Asian squat as easily as I can. But let's just get down to it. So we met a while back. You were doing some other work and you came by, and then you told me, you know, right here in the Fieldcraft North Carolina office, you're like, "Hey, I'm doing this Apogee program. Do you know about Matt Boudreau? Do you know about the program?" And I heard about it, but I didn't get as much of an explanation as I wanted. But over the time, like when we were hunting and the times that we've hung out since then, you've given me such an insight. And I think it's fascinating. I think it's what we need to do as a society. We got to get back to the old school way of teaching. So can you kind of give us a rundown of, first off, like what it is? And then I want to dive deep in the weeds with a few different topics with you.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And myself and all the guys and girls on this Apogee mission, we quite often have this conversation, and it's actually, sometimes it's hard to put into words, but I'll do my best and I'll give you my perspective where I'm coming from. So I joined the Apogee Strong Dads Mentor Program in April of 2023. And what even got me there is I was looking for something more, right? I started to feel complacent. I started to feel like I was very much going through the flow of life. And I'm like, I have to challenge myself. I have to surround myself with a group of guys that are just ready to take it to the next level. And man, I had no idea what I was getting into. So an overview of the men's program, and I don't even like the term program. Apogee is very much a mission dedicated to changing your own personal bloodlines right under your roof, and then affecting change in culture just by the way we show up. Right. And I'll pause there for a second, and I'll continue down the road there, man.
You know, I think it's worth noting, you know, who the founder is, because I had a chance to jump on a podcast with him where I spoke to a bunch of the young men in the program. And, you know, I'll pause myself. I'll get back to that in a second. But one of the things that I thought was really cool was that, you know, this guy brought all these new kids into the fold, had a chance to have them speak with all these different individuals every Friday. So can we talk a little bit about Matt? Because I haven't met him yet. I know he's only like 4 hours away from here, and you and I said we're going to go out there at some point and just do a sit down, have some lunch with him. But can you kind of explain what his background is, and, you know, who the driving force is behind this Apogee mission?
Yeah, I'll just kind of lay out where the whole thing started. So you have Matt Boudreau, and then you have Tim Kennedy. Obviously, most people know Tim. Just he's a big personality, and he, you know, UFC fighter. Active duty, the whole nine yards. So Matt and Tim, they met because Tim was reaching out looking to start a school in Cedar Park, Texas, where he lives. And Matt is the education guru. It's Matt Boudreau. I think you already said his last name. So Matt and Tim link up with this common goal of looking at education from a different, you know, different perspective. And ultimately, they end up standing up a school about 3 years ago in Cedar Park, Texas. That is the very first Apogee school, the brick and mortar location. But Apogee in itself has other programs as well. You've got, and they're all online programs right now, and we're actually going to roll these out into in-person programs as well. But you've got the Apogee Strong Dads Mentor Program. Apogee Women's just launched the beginning of this year. What you were referring to as Kevin was a guest mentor on was the Apogee Young Heroes program, which is right now it's boys ages 12 to 18. It's an online program. They have, you know, daily interaction on a closed platform. They have projects and challenges that they're tackling. And then they have these really awesome weekly mentor calls. And Kevin was able to jump on and just pour into these kids. And it was awesome. I was able to join that call as well. And then Matt also does a homeschool mentor program where he brings on parents of homeschool students, and they have weekly calls, and Matt just kind of guides them. They do Q&A, and he just gives his perspective. But Matt's background is in education. He's done everything from the public sector, the private sector. He's been on the administrative side of things, and he's also been, a teacher. And, you know, so he's done it all in the education world. Where he really started to cut his teeth is when he saw how broken the system was, and just he wanted something different for his kids. So he teamed up with Acton, which was originally, I believe, just an MBA program. And he saw a vision for taking that program and actually recreating it for young kids. And ultimately, he ended up probably plant, this is just a rough estimate, 300 or so Acton Academies across the globe. So he really has a good foundation and understanding of where education is and was, where it needs to go, and how to actually start this grassroots movement of standing up different education options in communities all over the globe.
And, you know, it's interesting to point out that the task of standing up something brand new that goes against this education machine that's been around for so long, that is reinforced by the teachers union, that's reinforced by, you know, these social expectations that the only purpose for going through K-12 is to get to college, where, you know, it leaves some kids behind. And that's a huge feat. So, I mean, it's very noble what he's doing. And, you know, I saw the product when I was in that Friday meeting, and when I had students who were 100% engaged and they're watching the monitor and they're responding, yes, sir, no, sir, the level of respect that these kids showed blew my mind. The level of engagement was unlike anything that I saw when I was a teacher during COVID, where the vast majority of the kids would put their screen on and you could see that they were on their phone because the screen was flashing. And meanwhile, my screen wasn't changing, or you would only see like the top of their head. These kids were into it because you were bringing people who were truly giving them an education. And, you know, I think what we should do is just define a couple things. Number one, Apogee, I had to look this up because I didn't know. It means the farthest or highest point. So when I was like, what the hell is this Apogee thing? So that's the definition of the word Apogee. But then also, you know, something that's so important to note is when you go to school, whether it's high school and you get a diploma, college, and you get either a certificate or a degree, you know, that's a piece of paper. It doesn't indicate necessarily all of your education, right? I mean, an education is when you have experiences, and it's the sum total of everything. And I think that's what really makes Apogee unique, is that it's more about developing, you know, these experiences for these kids and letting them explore and self-discover and find their own drive, which I would rather see a half a dozen kids who are highly independent, self-motivated, than 100 kids who are stuck in the machine, stuck in the expectation, like they only have one path in life because they become robots, you know? So, I mean, are there any other notable things that we should point out, definitions that we should clarify for the listener about what Apogee is
or what they do? I think this is important to understand too, that school and education are two completely different things. And if you really want to deep dive this and get like find a good starting point, there's a book written by John Taylor Gatto called Dumbing Us Down. You can find it on Spotify, Audible, hardback, whatever, however you like to read or listen to books. But man, it's about a 4-hour listen, and he really just breaks down the conveyor belt system of school and why it was designed and created to do exactly what it's supposed to do, right? A lot of people say, oh, the school system's broken. Well, no, it's actually doing what it's supposed to do. And I definitely don't want to get on here and talk about, you know, go down the rabbit hole of just bashing what's not working. I want to just talk more about what we're creating, but you have to kind of touch on the reason why we're doing what we're doing. So check out that book, Dumbing Us Down. You'll absolutely love it. And it's funny because a lot of pushback. So we're one of 50 campuses opening the doors in 2024. We've got campuses opening all over the country. And there's even, I think there's one in Australia and one in Canada. So we're going global year one. And we're not calling them schools. We're calling them Apogee Education Communities, Education Campuses. But we're not even referring to it as a school because we're trying to build a community with the foundation being education. And it's funny because we get pushback, you know, a lot of these other affiliate owners that are starting to interview like the first families that want to join us and really just jump into this mission. You know, some of the pushback is like, I don't know if I want to be part of this experiment. And the question to ask them back is like, is this an experiment or are we just going back to our factory settings and back to our innate ways of actual learning? Right. Maybe we've been stuck in the experiment for 100+ years. Right. So that's the instead of being argumentative, just start asking those questions back. Are we products of the experiment? And is that why we're even having this conversation?
I know you're a gentleman and you don't want to talk about the things that are going wrong in public ed, but that's kind of my domain. So I don't mind being the one to mention certain things like that. And I'll let you talk about the stuff that you guys are doing. Something that drove me crazy when I was a teacher was sitting in the yearly convocation where, you know, we meet with all the teachers in one auditorium. The superintendent of schools gets up in the front with all the teachers. And the superintendent of schools at the time said, we want to make sure all kids are college ready. And, you know, I understand that that's a standard, like a universal standard for, you know, getting all kids to a certain point. But the reality is not every kid should go to college. Not every kid wants to go to college. Not every kid can go to college. Some kids are driving toward trade schools and some kids are driving toward working in family businesses and so forth. But the emphasis and all of the resources and so much of the time and energy that educators put into this process goes towards standardized testing, which at the end of the day, when we look back at our education, we don't say, man, I really loved the SAT. I really loved, you know, all these different state tests. We think about, man, that teacher taught me a lesson. You know, we think about what that class felt like when we went in there. And, you know, I understand preparing students for something, but I could take a dozen people right now and say, all right, I'm going to prepare you guys to run a marathon. Right. And I'll give you the training that you need to do for the marathon, but I'm not going to force you to run the marathon at the end of the day. So you think about how much training goes into doing something that students will never do. What if I were to say, all right, I'm going to train you to run a marathon. And who here doesn't want to run a marathon, but they want to learn how to swim really, really well? Well, if those kids raise their hands, why am I focusing on teaching them how to run a marathon? You know, why am I focusing on something that's not their eventual goal? You know, so what I love about your program is that it is getting kids to a point to make that decision on their own, whether they want to go there or not. And I think Matt just posted about that in social media. He had a question like, will Apogee programs get a kid ready to go to school, go to college? And he had a brilliant answer. He said, the answer is yes, but more importantly, we're going to teach the kid to make the decision himself or herself. So what is the approach that you guys take? Like what does the typical lesson look like when a kid goes into your school? Or I should say, what term are we going to use? Education Learning Center or?
Yeah, just the education community. Referring to it as mm-hmm. an Apogee Education Campus, and we're building that community out.
So what does the typical day look like?
So it's really cool, man. So the first year right now, we have so many people working on this behind the scenes. I don't take credit for a lot of the stuff, but I'm just glad to be a small part of it. So they just built out the year one curriculum, for lack of a better term. But what it is it's 7 major themes throughout the first year. And each theme has a bunch of projects and challenges in there for the young heroes, as a term we use a lot, referring to these kids, because they are heroes, man. And that's how they should be treated. And that's how they should be raised up. But we have 7 major themes for the first year. And within each theme, like I said, projects and challenges. And those challenges are a microcosm of life. It's what's going to actually move the needle forward, right? Remember, we put these kids in a box when they're just humans like us with less experience, right? So a microcosm of life is another term that we use, and that's the environment we want to create and put them in there. But let's talk about day to day, right? Let's think about buckets. So the kids come in, we're going to huddle up in the morning. We're going to maybe do some prayer time. So our location, we're going to be faith integrated. My wife and I are Christians, and we're not going to hide that. And it's okay for people that are not to come. And, you know, and what's really cool, man, is built into every day are Socratic conversations, civil discourse at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, right? So we're just starting at the elementary age, but it's okay to have these conversations of like, hey, I understand these are your beliefs. This is what I believe. Let's dive in through a Socratic, conversation with good questioning and good answering. And it's almost a form of, it is a form of argumentative conversation. But at the end of the day, we have to understand, hey, it's okay that you believe this and I believe that, because we can still exist together, right? So that's one bucket right there. Socratic conversations, critical thinking, physical fitness is going to be a huge aspect of what we're doing, right? That physical health is good for mental health, all the way down to education on eating and how we eat. We're going to be a clean campus, meaning like you're not bringing McDonald's for your kid. You're not sending soda pops and Lunchables and this and that. It's not real food. It's not good for the development of a child, and it's not conducive for anything, right? So we've got the Socratic conversation bucket. We've got the health and wellness, physical education piece every day. Outdoor time, just free outdoor time. Let these kids go play outside and just do what they do. Outside time is going to be a huge thing, and this is where you're going to come into play, hopefully, and we're going to have some fun at creating some different programs around that, maybe some different special events around that. But then they're also going to have assignments within the classroom or the campus that very much mimics a job and responsibility, and maybe we'll keep track of a point system as if it was currency, right? And they get a good understanding of financial literacy and what it means to earn a point or a dollar, and like what that actually looks like. Instead of telling them about it, let's just walk them through it, right? So those are the few buckets that we'll fill every day. We will have an academics bucket. It'll very much be self-paced, and it will focus on right now core academics, elementary age, like 5 to 11, math, reading, and writing. And we're going to make all that fun, and they can do it at their own pace. Maybe we'll use some, there's a ton of good self-driven programs out there that we can use, a bunch of different platforms, bunch of different options for that. But when we have that hour of academic time, one kid might be reading a book. One kid might be working on some fun math stuff. Another kid maybe just like, hey, I'm just going to journal right now because I want to practice writing, right? So you start to get the idea of there's going to be a lot of choice. And there's going to be a lot of intentionality behind it, but the freedom for them to kind of make their own decisions and work their way through the day. And then at the end of the day, hey, we all get together and we go, hey, what are your wins for today? What'd you do good? Where do you think you could do better? What do you want to work on tomorrow? Right. We all get together, huddle and, slap hands, shake hands and go from there. Right. And then we do it again the next day. And then instead of teachers, we have coaches and guides in the classroom. Not that lecture set up, but more of a come alongside these kids and start to help them from the coaching side versus the I'm going to stand here and tell you, method.
If we unpack a few of those different things that you talked about, I think we can really, really just kind of expose how awesome this is. So the first thing that popped in my head, the Socratic method, the idea of the kids asking questions, the ideas of them, getting into not an argument, but a debate, and learning the proper way of doing that. Because if you think about it now, like how many kids are so quick to say, well, let's cancel that person because they said something bad or they said something I don't agree with. And it's like, we have to learn to, as Americans, right? We have to learn to interact with people who are not like us 100%. They are not going to have every single belief. And if we use like mainstream politics, like, okay, they don't have the same belief in abortion. They don't have the same belief in gun control. They don't have the same belief in, social welfare, things like that. Like, just because you have a different belief in one aspect doesn't mean you have to write that person off forever. I mean, that creates a nation divided as opposed to a united nation that we should all be pledging to, So
you're seeing that now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
And it's amazing when you see that rare quality in a kid who's younger and they can handle hearing constructive criticism. They can handle having a discussion about something that makes them feel uneasy. Like that's the whole point when you go to a place for education, you are going there to bring your ideas, to have them challenged, because if you truly believe in it, it will make you stronger to have someone ask even two questions to see how deep your understanding of your topic is, and to see, you know, how passionate you are about it, to see if you actually did the research to back it up, you know, but,
yeah.
But kids today are quick to just repeat off the top of their head what they've heard their parents say, or what they've seen something like flipping through their phone, like, oh, that's a bumper sticker, you know? And I used to tell my students, I was like, guys, please don't speak to me in bumper stickers, right? That's a cool expression, but I happen to be a purveyor of cool expressions, you know, like learn to actually understand what you're saying and what it actually means, you know? And so that to me is amazing at such a young age, you know, that kids are learning that.
And you brought up an awesome point. So one of the challenges I had to do right out the gate, I think month one or two in the Apogee Strong Dads program, is I had to steel man my own beliefs around spirituality and religion and what I believe. So take my belief system, and I had to go internally and just tear it apart. Yeah. I had to question everything and see if I could debunk my own conclusions, right? Because so often we just like to attach ourselves to an ideal or a belief, and without really understanding, you know, what it is that we do believe in and what we do stand for. And man, talk about a really cool exercise and to put it out there for, you know, 100 other guys to tear apart. And it's like, hey, this is what I believe. This is what I, you know, why I believe it. And man, the opposition that comes at you, and you know, it could get tense. It could get intense. And it's like, you want to stand your ground and you want to stand your guard, but man, to go put yourself in their shoes and start to understand why they're questioning your beliefs and how they're viewing it. And, you know, maybe their life experiences are completely different. Maybe they've had just a different, you know, their own upbringing and understanding of that. Man, when you are able to tackle your own beliefs and know the why behind it, man, there is so much power in that. And, you know, I wish I didn't wait till I was, you know, 40 years old to do something like that, man. Like, to your point, for these kids to start doing that at a young age and to become the norm, man, a whole generation of different thinkers and creators and, you know, that we're going to be living with, and ultimately they're going to be the ones running the show here. You know what I mean?
And I think it counters what has happened in public education for the past few years, the results of COVID. You can talk to any teacher now who stayed on the job throughout the pandemic, and they'll tell you that these kids, because they lacked the regular contact, the social interaction with their friends, because these kids didn't have an authority figure, so to speak, in front of them, they've lost the ability to communicate effectively with one another. They've lost a lot of respect for their elders. And as a result, their performance has gone down. So I feel like this is not just a good cause, it's a necessary cause, because what it's doing is it's counteracting what we're experiencing now. And who knows how long we're going to, you know, feel the effects of the pandemic students, you know, but I feel like this is what we need to do. Like, it's more important now than ever to have a program like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And like, so there's a really cool mission statement that we've kind of put together. You know, I say we, but this is, you know, Matt and his brain trust. And this, again, this is his wheelhouse. This is what he's so good at. But the mission statement for Apogee, it's reclaiming the foundation of a free society by disrupting education for the entire family. Man, that's powerful. And then we started to unpack that a few weeks ago and just kind of talking about, you know, I said, how did you come up with that verbiage in the beginning there, like reclaiming the foundation of a free society? That's very loaded. And the conversation was just very much how dependent we are on everything, right? And we get thrown into that conveyor belt system super early on, right? At kindergarten, even earlier than that, man. They've got these kids at 18 months in these programs teaching them what they right, they deem to be important, right? And that whole reclaiming the foundation of a free society is just making people understand that there's way more than just one way to do this life. We don't have to just go to school K through 12, work really hard to get the teacher's approval, and then get the good grades so we could go to college and go hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt to get that good job where they take half of your taxes, you know, half of your paycheck in taxes, and to stack money into these 401ks, right? It's like people think that's the only way because that's all we know, right? What if you told a kid at 5 years old, like, you can do that if you want to do that, and we will support that wholeheartedly because there's so many people out there that really enjoy their life, and that's perfectly okay. But it's also okay to tell them, you can go start your own business. You don't ever have to work for somebody if you don't want to. You don't have to sit in a school for the first 18 years of your life taking tests and memorizing and regurgitating. If you want to, cool. But if you don't, there are other options, right? And then the second part of that, disrupting education for the entire family. Man, if the parents are not coming alongside these kids growing in this direction, it's not going to work, right? So the parents also need to continue to move the needle forward and continue to progress and educate and grow. Because, man, if you have this kid that's just fast-tracking life and you've got the deadbeat parents that are like, I just want to, you know, let my kid do what my kid's going to do, and I'm just going to, you know, work my 60-hour-a-week job, and I'm the provider, and then watch football all day on, you know, Sunday. And that's not what these kids need, right? They need that foundation at the house as well as when they go back out into their communities and learn with other kids. And you know what I mean? So it's a really cool mission statement. I think we could have a whole conversation around that.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to focus on, you said the word foundation, and getting back to your typical day at an Apogee Education Center, the whole idea of physical fitness. And this is something that's near to me because, I mean, when I was a little kid, I mean, people may or may not know this, but I was definitely the husky kid. Like, I was the kid who, when I went to middle school, you know, or I should say like elementary school, before I hit puberty, like I had this big old fat tire around my waist, and, you know, that affected my self-esteem, no doubt about it. And if you talk to my sisters, they will say that I'm still like a little fat kid in my head, you know? And even though I'm fit for my age and I'm capable as a man now, I mean, there were times when I was a little kid where that really just weighed on me. So to be able to address that with kids and tell them, you know, physical fitness is important and physical fitness will improve the quality of your life. Like, right now I'm 43 years old, and my dad always told me, he's like, you know, always look at your peers, you know, it's good to know what they're doing, what you're doing, and have like a metric. And I look at some of my friends and I'm like, man, that guy let himself go, you know, and he's miserable all the time. And he always talks about, you know, how miserable he is because he's overweight or because, you know, he doesn't get a chance to do anything to physically test himself. It's important to do that. And that's something you carry for your entire life. Like, my dad's 85. He still to this day does pushups in the morning, and he calls it jogging. He kind of just is like a half jumping jack, but he does it like 100 reps of that, and then he'll take a break and do 100 more. He understands physical fitness, does it every day, and he's 85 years old, and he never got away from that all the way back to his days in the military school in the Philippines when he was a teenager. So I love the fact that you guys are doing that. And were you the one that brought it up, the case study of the La Sierra High School, where the kids were like super physically fit and they would earn different color gym shorts based on like the standards that they could do? And like, these were the kids who, I don't know, were you the one that brought that up to me years ago?
I think it was actually a post on the Apogee page. And they were showing how physically fit these kids were during gym class on the monkey bars. Yeah. And, I mean, it looked like a military boot camp, and there wasn't one kid in there. And this isn't knocking obese kids or anything like that, but there was a standard at that school, and there was buy-in for these kids to work hard and be physically fit, because ultimately we know that that is a much healthier version of yourself, both physically, both mentally. You're going to feel better. You're going to think better. Right. There was a good post on the Apogee Instagram page. And it was a video about that. So I think it was you and I that were talking about that. And you touched on a point, man. Like, so many guys are in that boat that you're talking about that just, and you know what it is, man? It is comfort and complacency.
Mm-hmm.
100%, man. Like, we get comfortable and you get complacent and you start going through the motions. And that's when things get dangerous, super dangerous, because you're not going to grow in that state, right? Complacency leads to, you're going to eventually start to feel that burden of like, I'm not even being productive anymore. And there's got to be more to this life, right? And it's so many guys, they're not willing to step into that pain and do something about it. And I think you said they complain about it. And man, that's counterproductive, right?
Right, right. You know, and that complacency kills. I think it's important to disrupt. It's important to have something kind of shake you up a little bit, because it kind of stirs you into action. And when I look back at public ed and I look back at the formula to do well in certain classes that I was in, right? When I was a student, it was like, okay, just take the notes and you answer it this way. The teacher is most likely just going to do, you know, holistic grading where they're looking for certain words to appear. Don't worry about, you know, elaborating too much. They're just going to put a check mark on the top and you're good. Well, right. Do you get any feedback from a freaking check mark? Like, that's one of my, I mean, now in retrospect, it's one of my greatest kind of disappointments I had in myself as a teacher, because I left check marks on people, on students' papers. But yeah. I also knew there were those students who would come up to me afterwards and be like, hey, can we talk about why I got a check mark here and a check minus there? Like, and they wanted elaboration and I elaborated, but you just kind of get complacent as a teacher. You get complacent as a student. And it sounds like the Apogee program, you know, when you're one of these coaches, you get a chance to do more than just put a check mark, you know, because the classes are going to be relatively small, right?
Yeah. And it's a mixed age studio too. So super, like the age range could be from 5 to 10 years old, all in one studio, kind of more of a collaborative effort with the older kids, you know, jumping in to pour into the younger kids. And man, there's so much to learn from, you know, a 5-year-old can teach a 10-year-old something as well, right? And you miss out on those opportunities when you segregate by age and it just becomes such a sterile environment. You need that. You know, it's the only place in life that you're segregated by age is school, right? Think about that. And yeah, these coaches get to come along and talk through these issues and guide. And you have to understand, man, while the coaches and the guides are there, they're also on their own path of growing. They're right, not here and saying, I'm the end all be all. I know everything. They're diving into the work just like these kids are. And they're coming right alongside them and saying, hey, this is what I'm working through as a coach, as the old guy in the room. Like, where are you at? Maybe I can help you out. Maybe you can talk me through this, right? And that's what it takes. And I mean, it's funny you talk about the check mark. Think about how these kids are programmed and they are taught to compete against all the other kids in their class. And they're all fighting for the approval of the teacher, who ultimately stands in front of the class, and they determine your spot on the podium there based on how you perform on a limited scope of tasks, like we were talking about earlier. It's like, I'm going to train you for a marathon, even though 80% of the class wants to swim. Well, what about the kids that are getting those low marks in, let's just call it, you know, in math, and all of a sudden their worth and their value is narrowed down to what their grade is. And it's like, all of a sudden, over the course of 2 or 3 years of being bad at math, all the teachers are like, oh, this is Timmy, he sucks at math. And not, where is your psyche as a kid at that age? And how do you, you know, and you're putting all these kids in their own little box based on one particular skill set and one particular test or quiz, right? And then like that kid is striving to get the attention of the teacher and they want to be up at the top there, but we're failing them miserably by only giving them that limited test, right? And man, think about the psyche going into life as you age and as you continue to go down that system, right? It's like, well, my value comes from a number on a piece of paper. That's dangerous, man.
Just want to give a quick shout out to the Sig Sauer Academy and Sig Sauer. They're one of our sponsors here at the Field Craft Survival Podcast. And SIG is one of those awesome companies that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. Even before I joined the ranks of the Fieldcraft Survival crew, I was going up to the SIG Sauer Academy back in 2015 and training up there. Guys, if you can't train with us at one of our locations, go up to New Hampshire, go meet the folks from the SIG Sauer Academy and train with them up there. There's a lot to do in the live free or die state. And I'll tell you, you can make a weekend out of it. So you show up the night before, you do your thing, go out to dinner, take the wife or the husband, whatever you got. And the next morning, go out, get a good breakfast, train, go to the experience center, get a good meal at Goody Cole's. Go stay at the Exeter Inn, great place, and just really just enjoy that area. New Hampshire is one of the greatest states to train in, super friendly people, and I think you're really going to enjoy training at the SIG Academy. I've been there probably 24 times in my lifetime, and I've done everything from the pistol classes to the carbine classes, the defensive shotgun courses, and the precision rifle courses. Probably the most fun you're going to have there is bullets on vehicles, where you do a lot of ballistic training through glass and into vehicles. And probably one of the most important classes you will ever take is the 3-day precision rifle class, because it will make you a better shooter across every platform. Not to mention you get a chance to shoot out to 1,000 yards. SIG is really, really raising the bar, you can say that. With the Experience Center, I mean, they've got a museum there. They have an indoor shooting range. The Pro Shop is a place where you can spend a lot of money, so just be real careful. And while you're up there, look for, you know, some of my good buddies that are up there in the instructor cadre. If you see Cav, tell him that you got Cadbury eggs, and I'm sure he'll do all sorts of things for you, helping you out with, you know, your skill set on the range and all. So, guys, please check out SIGSauer.com. And please check out the SIG Sauer Academy. And by the way, that is how it's pronounced, SIG Sauer. It's not SIG Sauer. And I think you're going to have a great time. I think back, I had a teacher in the fourth grade who sent a message home to my parents and said, "Your son is not creative." I'll never forget this. And she said that, you know, your son was never not creative, this and that. And my parents were like, "This is nonsense. Like he can draw, he can do all sorts of stuff." And then 4 years later, I'm in the eighth grade and I had a teacher, her name was Mrs. Carucci. And Mrs. Carucci was like, "I know you're a good writer and I believe in you." And next thing you know, that year I'm 14 years old and it's the English class. We're writing, we're learning to write, and we're doing poetry. And I was like, "Okay, I'm going to write this poem." And, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, so, you know, what was, you know, frequent in the news were Native Americans and the casino. So I was like, "All right, I'm going to write a poem about Native Americans." And I just wrote a poem. Next thing you know, she goes, "I am going to put this poem in a statewide contest." And my poem got selected. I ended up going to Washington Depot, Connecticut, and my poem got accepted to a book called The Anthology of Poetry by Young Americans. It was like the 94, 95 edition. And that teacher, Mary Carucci, she definitely was someone who defined me as a person, because later on I would learn to love creative writing. I would learn to write for my school newspaper. I eventually wrote magazine articles and now a best-selling book, you know? And I think about the two different trajectories that those teachers were putting me on. Some of my worst years in middle school were after the fourth grade, and I just was like miserable, you know? Like I just wasn't performing the way I could. But then Carucci was someone who said, "Hey, I believe in you. I'm going to give you a chance. Let's see how far you can take this." And, you know, I'm friends with her now on Facebook, and she messages me still to this day, like, "Hey, I'm proud of you for everything that you're doing." You know?
And oh, that's amazing.
But, you know, like that right there just goes to show you the impact of a teacher or a coach or like a role model, you know? And, you know, if you fall into the pitfalls of teachers who are complacent, which there are many right now. And listen, I'm not knocking teachers. I was one of them. There are some amazing teachers. There are some terrible teachers. I think we've lost a lot of the passion because of what is in place of us in front of us now. And if you were to tell teachers now, "Hey, what if we were to get rid of standardized testing? What could you do?" I guarantee you would see teachers light up. I guarantee if you were to say, "Hey, what if we were to cut down your class sizes and we were to give you opportunities to have genuine connections with kids?" Teachers would be like, "Please do that."
Yeah.
And I think, again, like, it's necessary for the kids. I think there are so many excellent educators out there right now who are going to sign up to be coaches in your program who maybe they're not a teacher by degree or by certificate, but they are a natural educator and they're going to be the ones working with your kids. Like
100%.
Like, this makes me so happy knowing that, because we've got to right this wrong. We got to reverse the ship and send it on a different path.
You touched on something that's super important to understand. All this conversation on school, like, there are so many good humans that work in the public school system, in the private school system, but they are restrained by the system, right? They're great teachers. They're great humans, and their intentions are fantastic, but they're shackled. I think you and I talked about this. You were the black sheep teacher doing everything that you weren't supposed to do because it was so effective and so beneficial for the kids. And you kept getting your hands slapped and saying, Kevin, I know that these kids are flourishing, but, like, you have to stick to the program.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem. And, you know, if we can just eliminate those restraints, these teachers can flourish right alongside the kids and they can do what they're innately good at. You know, and so, yeah, it's such a fascinating phenomenon to think how powerful that machine is and just kind of the intentionality behind, you know, compulsory schooling as we know it right now.
One of the things that I'm sure people are wondering at this point, because we've been talking primarily about the Apogee program, but we haven't even really talked about you, where you grew up, because, I mean, you are the leader of that program in the Triangle region. And, you know, I think it's important to kind of paint the picture of your background, your philosophy, your experiences, and why you are doing this. So can you kind of give us a background of where you grew up, what you eventually did for work, and, you know, why you made this jump to doing this full time?
I appreciate you even bringing that up, because it is an interesting path and a journey. Let's go all the way back to school age Mike. A C student at best, and I tried to make my grades so I could continue to be eligible to play hockey. That's what I did growing up. I grew up north, and if it wasn't for high school hockey, I don't think I would have had any interest at all in school, right? So I played the game of school just to do good enough to continue to play hockey and to be eligible to play and practice and play in the games. Right. So I wasn't a huge fan of school. I'm super high energy kid. You're going to make me sit and be quiet and not tap my foot or tap my pencil. Like, I'm the kid that's like, Mike, stop tapping your pencil. Right. So fast forward to graduating high school, I made it through. I sneaked by. I was not an amazing student by any means. I was just an average student. And not super motivated to put any more effort into it than I had to, right? I never even thought about college when I graduated high school. It was and my parents were, and I look back and I really like their approach on it, is there was no pressure there. But 6 months out of high school, I was washing cars at a local car dealership 50 hours a week. Right. And finally, my dad pulled me aside and he's like, hey, are you going to wash cars your whole life? And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, like, what do you want to do? I was like, well, what do you mean? You know, like, nobody ever had that real conversation with me. So I made it through 12 plus years of school and nobody even started to have these conversations of, like, I heard the college talk. I didn't have any interest in that just because of my lack of interest in school. I was like, well, I don't want to keep doing this. Right. But I love the approach my parents took, and they gave me that freedom to kind of figure out what the real world looked like. And it was like, well, hey, what's your paycheck right now, Mike, after working 50 plus hours a week? Well, I'm making a good $7 an hour. And my dad's like, well, you know, you're kind of going to need more than that to live in this world, right? So then we start looking at these different options of, well, what are you interested in? What do you want to learn about? So eventually I get signed up. I go to community college. And I'm taking a whole bunch of classes. Nothing's biting. I end up taking some criminal justice classes, and I fall in love with a topic for the first time in my life. Fascinated by constitutional law. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a police officer. So 3.5 years of community college to earn a 2-year degree. And I go into the world of law enforcement. So I end up moving down to North Carolina and joining a big police department in North Carolina. And that's where I cut my teeth. And I was just turned 22 years old when I joined into the police academy. And for the first time, I fell in love with learning about something. And I was just fascinated with the entire profession. So fast forward, let's see, I spent 13 years in law enforcement, and I got to do all the fun stuff you could possibly think of. These big drug and gang investigations. I was on the training staff towards the end of my 13 years, doing reality-based training. I was teaching gang and drug classes at the academy. And I realized, man, I love police work, but I also love the transfer of information. I love taking my skill sets and teaching these younger recruits and younger officers how to do what I did so they can go out there and do it better. Right. And so that's where I made the connection of, man, I like to teach. I like to transfer information. So I leave law enforcement. I go into the corporate world and the world of corporate security. And it's where I've been for the last 6 years. And it's a good gig, but I'm just being called to do more. I've got children of my own. I know what I want for them as far as their education is, and I know what I don't want for them. And this Apogee mission just was definitely divinely led to Apogee. And my wife and I have always talked about wanting to build community, and like, that's what we do. Like, we're the community builders, we're the networkers, we're the ones that bring people together, right? And so this opportunity just snowballed, and here we are, right? I get the opportunity to affiliate with Apogee, so that's not a franchise. We're all 100% owner operators of our campus. We affiliate, we sign a contract, we adhere to the Apogee code, which we can dive into later, but there is a very specific code that we live by in Apogee, and there's very specific guidelines. And if you stay within that, man, we have the freedom to build this how we want. So that's the abbreviated version of how I even got here. But yeah, my background is in law enforcement, something I truly, absolutely loved and super passionate about. Even do a podcast with another fellow law enforcement friend called the Disruptors Podcast, where we talk a lot about our old stories, and we cut up and have fun and do all that. But yeah, man, I'm being called to do this. Absolutely think it's God breathed and it's divine. And I'm taking one step at a time, knowing that we can build this community right. And we have a fantastic support network and a group of humans that are helping us achieve this.
One of the things that I really appreciate about the approach that you have is that it's not just you, it's your wife. It's a family approach. And you said that eventually, like, your kids will get involved in it. And I think, number one, it would be very wise to recognize the effort that your wife is putting into this. And I know that they always say, like, you know, behind every good man is a strong woman. But I think in this case, yeah, it's next to every good man is a strong woman, because 100%. It's not like she's a subordinate. You guys are in this as a team. Yeah. And, you know, you guys are equals in bringing this up. So what is going to be her role, you know, next to you when you eventually open this up in the fall?
Oh, it's a fantastic question.
You know, I came up with some pretty good questions for this.
Yeah, have this conversation every night. I have a 1-year-old and a 7-year-old right now. So we don't even really get to talk throughout the day until it's like 10 o'clock at night and the house is like dripping in dinner and everything else. But our conversations are, we're just dreaming about what the future of this community could look like. And, you know, our big goal, my wife is very, very much passionate about the health and wellness world from a holistic standpoint, and, you know, healthy soil, regenerative agriculture, gardening, and just really like what we put in our bodies and physical fitness and spiritual wellness and, you know, all that stuff. That's her passion, right? So ultimately, down the road, our idea, our dream is to build a physical campus for our location that has very much a farm setting with a big food forest and your chickens, your goats, your pigs, and like put these kids to work because they want to get their hands dirty. You know what I mean? So I think she's going to have a niche in that side of what we're building out. And she's got a ton to offer. She's a health coach, even though she's not practicing. She, you know, she's the girl that all her friends call and, you know, look for advice. And, you know, she just innately dives deep into this stuff, and that's her passion. So we'll definitely incorporate that as we move forward. But you're 100% right, man. She's not behind me. She's next to me. Couldn't do it without her. No doubt about it. And I'm bringing my kids along on the journey. And I just told my 7-year-old, like, hey, this is what we're doing. And you're a big part of this. You're the first student, right? And she's taking ownership in what we're doing and is going to understand, you know, her role in this, just to show up and just invite all these other kids into the mix and just be that warm, you know, smiling spirit that she is, right? But it's a family affair, man. You know, and I know I'm going on and on and on, but another part of the why behind this is it's so wrong that every morning, 5 days a week, we all go in separate directions. It's like I go here and my wife goes to the office, and my kid gets dropped at school, and my other kid's at a babysitter. And on top of being ridiculously expensive, it's like, well, why are we outsourcing all this stuff when we could just come together as a family and do life together with other families, right? And that's another part of the concept of, like, I want to live my life with my family, not just on, you know, Friday evening through Sunday evening. So that's another big why. And I think that's just a product of the design that we've grew up in, right? It's just like so many people are like, yeah, I'm stuck in the same boat. And it's like, I had that I'm stuck mentality for a long time. And then I finally was like, well, I'm not stuck. I have the ability to make a choice and a decision, and behind that choice and decision is a lot of hard work, but guess what? It's going to be worth it.
I think one of the other aspects that's really unique about the program that you're developing is that it's so grassroots, so organic. It's so, it's a community effort in addition to being led by you and your wife. I mean, and all the coaches, I mean, and I love how it's coming together so perfectly. I mean, we talked about this. And then another group that I'm doing some work with called the TOA group, which is really taking a look at school security from the perspective of a former U.S. Marshal, former cop, former Delta operator, and now me, a former educator. You know, we're looking at school security and looking at how we can make the safest schools around. I know that you guys are talking. One of the things about it that you get to do completely differently is you get to set a new standard, you know, as far as the security is concerned. I know that you've talked to the CEO of the TOA group about it. I think that's something that, you know, when we look at public education now and how things are happening over and over and over, episodes of violence are happening over and over and over. So many of those episodes of violence, like, we're dealing with how to put the bandage on the gaping wound instead of dealing with the root cause of so much of that, which is kids that feel like they're left out. Kids that feel like they are pushed aside, whereas a small educational community where every kid's voice matters, well, that makes a kid feel like they belong, and it makes a kid feel like, you know, they don't want to do something to a product that they're building, you know, like they have ownership in it. So can you kind of talk about, like, the physical structure of the school, like the classroom? Because I think that's unique to what Matt is doing and what you're doing and what it's going to look like. Because when people hear school, they think blackboard or whiteboard, teacher desk, student desks in a row. So what does your classroom look like?
Yeah, man. And this is fun because we're still building this out, and we're still kind of working on what should this feel like, right? And I want it to be a feeling when you walk in. It's definitely not going to be desks in a row in a straight line. And there's definitely not going to be this silence in the air where you can hear a pin drop. Think about a summer camp environment that is intentionally created for these kids to flourish into their own and to unclip their wings, right? So very much, you know, let's take desks out of the equation and let's put beanbags all over the floor. Let's have a big open room and maybe subdivide it with some, you know, 4-foot high cubbies and make these cool little nooks for the kids to hang out, right? Like, hey, guys that are working on this, you know, head over here and enjoy your conversation and You know, let's have a center point in the classroom where we gather up in the beginning and at the end of every day, and we, you know, we shake hands. Maybe we say the Pledge of Allegiance all together. Maybe we say a prayer together. Maybe we talk about wins and losses, right? But it's very much this open environment that cross collaboration can take place with the kids and with the coaches. I do not want it to be a sterile environment. I don't want kids walking in straight obedient lines. Obviously, there's going to be discipline built in to the program, but not like, you know, it's funny because you can start to compare prison and schools, right? Look at the building structure, look at the rule structure, look at the food that's served, right? There's a lot of parallels there, right? So I'm not creating a prison. I'm creating, you know, think of it like this, man. Apogee and all these campuses that are standing up here in the fall, we're the garden. And it is our job to make sure that the soil's perfect, to make sure that the grounds are ready for all the seeds, right? And then these seeds, the students, they come in and they are in this perfect environment to help them grow, right? The work still falls on the seed. The work still falls on the student, but we're there to foster that perfect environment. You know, perfection's always going to be our goal, even though we know it's not achievable, right? But we're gonna foster that perfect environment for them to grow and to flourish. But ultimately, the work falls on the kids. So back to your question, what does it look like? Kind of that, man, my dream is like one of those big barn dominiums that you see in Texas. And, you know, just a big open space, man, where they can all get together and do their thing. And I want to have a wall in there that like they can paint on, they can write quotes on, they can put pictures of their family on, and very much a community where we celebrate not just the kids, but the families involved. It'd be really cool to have a workspace for the parents that work remote that are able to come in and like, hey, I'm working today. I'm just going to go drop in at, you know, the Apogee campus and hang out there and grab a cup of coffee. Maybe there'll be another parent there that I can shoot the breeze with or whatever. But the environment is very much that community environment where you don't want to leave. And I know Matt has talked about this a bunch, man. They had campuses where, you know, maybe the day ended at 3 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, the kids and parents would still be there. Everybody's just hanging out because they don't want to leave because there's so much fun. There's so much community and so much back and forth there. And that's the environment we're looking for, and how you create that physically. I think over time, we're going to really learn what that looks like and feels like, but we have some cool ideas, man.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. So what does the timeline look like? Because, you know, we're recording this podcast in January. I know you said at some point, you're going to go full speed ahead, jumping into the deep end with all the administrative side and, you know, doing everything. So I know that the plan is for the fall, but what does that look like? And also, as like a call to arms, like if there's someone who's listening that could help you, what do you need help with moving forward to make this a community effort to make sure that the school has the greatest success from the get-go?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I don't want just success for the Apogee Triangle campus in North Carolina. I want success for every campus that's opening up over the country and even over the seas, Australia, Canada. So for those listening, call to action. If any of this even sounds remotely exciting to you, or at least your curiosity has started to peak a little bit, so the websites are coming out here in February in the next little bit, right? We're going to have a home-based website. I believe it's apogeeschools.org. And then on that website, you're going to be able to go state by state and have links to all of the other campus websites. So what the call to action right now is, if this resonates with you, be an advocate, start pushing people towards Apogee and just saying, hey, you might want to check this out for your family. Cause you know, in all of our conversations that we've had, this sounds like it might be right up your alley. Cause right now our focus is people, right? We've got the back end stuff done. We've got our website designers. We've got the curriculum stuff. We've got the administrative stuff done. Right now, the founding families are crucial to each local community standing this up, because we're going to be the backbone. It's not just me. It's not just Mike and I'm the one that that's in charge here. Again, a community, we all have each other's back. We all rally around each other. So these founding families and everybody over the next couple of years that really invests in this and understands what we're doing, they're going to be crucial to how this grows, you know? So right now it's just finding the right families. And we'll all be very clear. We do not want to fill seats, right? This is not a, you know, 400 applications, 400 people are in. No, there's a vetting process. We have to make sure we have the right people that are on board with this and fully invested in the mission, because it is a mission. And some people get scared by that. And some people are like, I don't really want to do the work, but I want this for my kids. Well, we might have to have a deeper conversation then, because that's not how true education works. You know, so, you know, the call to action is start screaming Apogee from the rooftops. And, you know, we want to have conversations with people. And, you know, if we have to convince anybody at that point in time, they're not the right person. They're not the right family. We want people to come to us ridiculously excited and going, I'm in, how can I help? And understand like that this is just the beginning, right? I think next year the plan is 100 more campuses. So,
that's,
you know,
absolutely it's amazing.
And Matt Bodra, I can't say enough, man. He's a fantastic mentor. He's a great friend. He has a fire that will never go out. Like, he is dedicated to this, and so is everybody else that is involved in this. But just, it's another shout out to Matt for just his leadership and what he's doing, man. But we want everybody to feel the same way, right? All for the purpose of giving these young heroes an education that they deserve. So start sending people our way, just and we can touch base at the end as to where you can find everything Apogee, but I'll put it all out there. But that's what we need right now. We need the right families to start jumping on board for the experiment, right?
Yeah, we're close to the end. And one of the things that we do is we always do five fast questions. And I say we always do it. I always forget to do it. But I'm going to ask you five questions shortly. Your responses don't have to be fast, but okay. They have to be, you have to be quick to respond. So you can take as long as you want to answer it, but you got to be quick to respond. You can't think about it and let us sit here in silence. But speaking of a couple other things, I am excited to travel out to see Matt, because he's here in North Carolina and he's only 4 hours away. And, you know, yep. I'm looking forward to that one. And I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, throwing my hat in the ring wherever I can, and offer whatever I can. So I'm just very excited for that opportunity. And I appreciate you guys for incorporating me wherever that will be. So with that being said, let's get to these five questions. And the first question in your rapid five: who was your favorite educator in your life and why?
Oh man, that's a fantastic question.
Well, hurry it's funny, up. Come man. On, so, get it, get to it.
the older I get, the more I realize that Jesus. I have been reading the Word for 3 or 4 years now, and my answer is Jesus. And there's infinite wisdom that comes from his teachings.
Second question: favorite cut of venison.
Oh, I know why you asked that, but you know that it's that tenderloin, that inner loin that lays right below the belly there.
That's right.
Right above the belly, depending on how you have the deer hanging there. But another fun fact: hooved animals are referred to as ungulates. So when you hang out with Kevin, you have to realize he's going to throw a lot of these intellectual words that he just assumes you know what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
And he's like, well, you know, you could, ungulate animals, their meat typically doesn't have the bacteria as whatever. And I'm pretending I know what he's talking about. I was like, Kevin, I don't know what an ungulate is. It's a hooved animal. I'm like, why couldn't you just say hooved animal, man? So you hang out with Kevin, you start to sound more intellectual.
And I'll say that I learned that term. The first time I heard it was from Andy Muckle, who's known as the flip-flop guy. And I watched George Bell go up to Andy Muckle at Black Rifle Coffee. This is at like a open house that they did. And George was like, hey man, can I just steal a piece of that venison raw and just dip it in that sauce? And Andy was like, go ahead. And I watched George just take a piece of venison off this raw steak, dump it in the sauce and eat it. And Andy was like, oh yeah, you can eat any ungulate raw. Not a problem. I was like, okay, duly noted. Okay. Third question. Favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Oh my gosh. Come on, man. So Kevin was on the Disruptors podcast. The Disruptors podcast with BC and Ski is something I'm a co-host on. And, somehow we always talk about music, and, we had a pretty good debate on whether or not the Red Hot Chili Peppers were actually a good band. And you know what? I'm a 90s music junkie, and I don't know the Red Hot Chili Peppers like some of their biggest fans. But you can't tell me if you're a 40-year-old guy or in that generation and you hear the intro to Under the Bridge that it doesn't just take you back to a good time in life, man. So I'm going to just say Under the Bridge, because when I hear that intro, man, it just reminds me of like jumping my my dyno BMX bike off a rickety ramp that I made to, you know, so the good old days, man.
Okay, next question. What was your favorite assignment that you ever were given in a school setting? And by the way, that could be like LE setting, it could be high school, it could be whatever.
Favorite assignment.
Yeah, was there like a homework assignment or a project that you're like, this is actually fun?
Yeah, man. So we did so man, it's really hard to piece that together. Next question, I'm going to come back to that because I don't want dead air.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, last question. If you have one quote that you could leave every Apogee student with, like one quote, like one motto, one mission, what is that quote?
There's so many of them, but I would say that strive for perfection, even though it's unattainable, because there's going to be so much intentionality behind that, right? If you're striving for perfection, you have to be dialed in. You have to be focused. You have to be intentional, and you have to have that never quit attitude, right? So strive for perfection, knowing that it's unattainable. And that's in every aspect of life. That's as a father, as a husband, at whatever job you're working, at your workouts, at whatever it is, man. Try to be the best, right? I had a mentor call yesterday, Apogee Strong Dad's mentor. It was with John Wellborn, NFL player and just a physical fitness guru. The guy's fascinating, but he said, I love this quote. He said, I'm a consumer of skills. There was not a topic that this guy could not intellectually dive into. He knew everything about everything. And at 2.5 hours, we had to cut the call off, right? So again, is he striving for perfection, knowing it's unattainable? Yeah. I mean, like, fascinating, right? So be a consumer of skills. Back to that other question. Mm-hmm. Favorite assignment. I would say it's more of a strategizing thing. So I was on a unit called the Career Criminal Unit on the police department. And one of our tasks was, hey, how can we curb violent crime in the city? The shootings are through the roof right now. And man, we pulled together a multi-jurisdictional project to target the worst of the worst, the most violent offenders. And we built out this system that we were going to deploy, and ultimately ended up doing a really big case on a lot of bad people that ultimately, got those people off the streets, man. So piecing together that project was really cool. Just all the moving parts of it, and just seeing the end result of, like, over the next course of a few years, our violent crime rates in the city I was working in, they plummeted. A lot of these people got pretty lengthy sentences for very serious crimes, right? Law enforcement's a whole nother topic where people don't necessarily agree with certain laws being enforced and all that, but I can assure you all these people, they were violent offenders, and they needed to serve the time that was coming their way. So that was a fun project that we worked on, man.
Awesome. Well, you know something, I normally would end on the Fast Five and be like, okay, where can people find you? But as someone who is a writer and someone who understands that a literary tool is the cliffhanger, and something as a teacher we would use is the charge, right? A charge can be a run up a hill. A charge can deal with electricity. A charge can also be a challenge. One of the things that I think is important to do at this point is to give our listeners something to look into, like give them a charge. If you want to learn more about Apogee, look at the code. So I want you to just very quickly, since it's in my notes and I wanted to make sure we touched upon it, what is the Apogee code? And you know what I mean? Like, give us a little bit of the code, give the listener something to look up, because maybe that will make them look it up and eventually make the decision that Apogee is going to be the way forward for my kids.
Absolutely, man. So I'm going to leave you with seven words, and then you start to dive into what this looks like for you and for your family and how you show up in this world. So the Apogee code, how we show up: bravery, honesty, loyalty, integrity, politeness, compassion, and honor. It's the Bushido code, man, for anybody that's in the martial arts world. That's the code. That's the expectations, and that's the standard. Nothing short of that, right? That's how we show up. That's how anybody that joins us is expected to show up. So start diving into that and start self-reflecting and going, where do I show up in this area? How can I get better, right? Because there's room for improvement no matter how you look at it. But that is the code. So dive into that.
And if people want to dive into Apogee, where can they find more information on it? And especially the Triangle Area program.
Yeah. So right now, ApogeeStrong.com is the main website. And from there, it'll funnel you out. On Instagram, we got Apogee Program. And then you also have Matt Beaudreau. So look up Matt. He is very much the captain on the education side of this, and he's doing a fantastic job. So we got Apogee Program on Instagram, Matt Beaudreau. Our local one here in North Carolina is Apogee Triangle NC on Instagram. Website will be up in mid-February, and that's ApogeeTriangle.org will be our local site. And then I think the main school site for all of the Apogee campuses is just going to be ApogeeSchools.org. And that should be up sometime in February. But yeah, any one of those avenues, you'll be able to get in touch with any of these campuses. We can direct you. You can reach out to me on my page, or just go to the Apogee Program website for those that don't have social media, or the ApogeeStrong.com, and we'll get you in touch with the right people.
Outstanding. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you're a busy guy, and you know, at one point I thought I was gonna have to run to the door waiting for this FedEx and UPS package that's supposed to show up here today, but I'm glad we got through it pretty much start to finish with very little interruption. So thank you so much. And I look forward to hunting with you again and seeing you and, you know, taking that trip out to see Matt in the western part of the state at some point soon.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate you as well, man. I appreciate how you show up in this world. And man, I think you're leading without trying to be a pretty humble leader, man. So you're doing a fantastic job, and I'm looking forward to fishing because, yeah. Hunting season's over. We got turkey coming up in April, but man, we need to go wet some lines and get out on the boat and get out on the big blue sea, man.
Count me in. That is done, my jam.
Done.
I'll bring the Red Hot Chili Pepper soundtrack.
Done.
All right, man. Well, hey, thank you so much. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for tuning into the Field Crafts for All podcast. I've been your host, Kevin Estella. Until next time.